Now, friends, we've come to the 11th chapter here of 2 Kings, and very candidly, this continues to be a very gory and grisly section of the Word of God. The story of Ahab and Jezebel is not a pretty period, and you probably thought we were through with them, but we're not. We are talking in the 11th chapter about a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And believe me, she took after both Mama and Papa. She is mean. She is one of the meanest of all of them. Now, she had married into the family of David. And when she found out that her son, who was the king, you remember he was sick. And what happened was that her son was put to death by Jehu. Well, now, when that happened, will you notice what she did? And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the seed royal. Well, as long as he lived, she actually was the queen. She controlled him. She was very much like this woman Jezebel, and she controlled him. But now a grandson would come to the throne. And she doesn't want him on the throne, of course. She's afraid she wouldn't be able to control him, and she'd lose her position. So what did she do? You talk about a bloodthirsty act. She slew, actually, all of the line of David that she could get her hands on. In other words, she would have exterminated the line of David, and this was another attempt of Satan to destroy the line that's leading to Jesus Christ. But as the Lord down in Egypt had preserved Moses, and the people were not slain, but were delivered out of Egypt, and as we'll see again in the time of old Haman, who attempted to exterminate them, well, here again, and this is by this woman Athaliah, who was the queen mother at this time. Now what happened was she thought she'd killed all of them, but she had not gotten all, because we're told, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. You see, when she exterminated the line, why, she came to the throne. And she's now ruling alone, and that's the way she wanted it. She was very much like a mother, Jezebel. Now we are told that this little fella is being brought up, and he's 6 years old. Verse 4, and the 7th year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. The rulers were brought in. I think they were tired of this woman Athaliah anyway, and they knew how bloodthirsty she was. And when they discovered that there was a son in the line of David, why, it brought encouragement and joy and hope to them. And he commanded them, verse 5, now saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sur. And a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man. Now you notice the extra precautions that are taken to preserve the life of this little fellow, because you know that his life would not have been worth a plugged nickel if this woman Athaliah had been able to get to him. She would have slain him. And after all, he's a grandson. May I say to you, this woman is as heartless as Jezebel was. Well, we're told that they protected this little fella until they were able now to bring him before the people. And I drop down to read verse 11. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar in the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. They clapped their hands and said, God save the king. This was a great day, you see, for the southern kingdom. Now, to know that there was one left in the line of David, it looked very discouraging there for a while. Now, notice verse 13. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. You see, she hadn't been invited. And when she heard all of the clamor that was taking place, now she evidently was in the palace of David, which was on Mount Zion, right above the temple area. She could hear the noise, and now she proceeds down there. Verse 14, and when she looked, and behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Well, that's her idea of treason, of course. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with a sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. They laid hands on her. She went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. She tried to flee, and there was no way in the world for her to have her trial transferred to another district where she would be expected to receive a fair trial. They just executed her right there and saved an appeal to the Supreme Court, got rid of her, which was, I think, a very proper thing to do at that time. Now, the removal of this woman took a dark cloud off of the southern kingdom, and now this little fella, he's just a boy, and naturally he had to have the counselors to rule in his stead. And one of them was the man that had engineered all this, and it was Jehoiada. And Jehoiada is the one that was in on all of this, and he had been the one that had led in the execution of this woman, Athaliah. Now I'm reading verse 17. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. Now, this is the beginning. This man who was the priest now, he leads in a movement to return to the worship of Jehovah. And the worship of Baal, you see, had penetrated even into Judah. And it was prevalent. I think the people were going to the temple of the Lord, but they also were worshiping Baal at the same time. The same old thing, be religious on Sunday, then live for the devil the rest of the week. And there are a great many church members doing that today. And then they wonder why that the church is so dead today. Well, the explanation is not found in a building. It's found in the people. That's where the deadness lies at the present time. Now, this is the beginning of a great spiritual movement that is nothing short of a revival. Will you notice this? And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal. They break it down, his altars and his images, broke they in pieces thoroughly. And they slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers, over hundreds, and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. Or we can call him Joash, if you please, because that is actually what his name was. Now here in the 12th chapter, we have the reign of this little fella, and you can see who is the man engineering all of this, was the high priest Jehoiada. And this is the beginning of a great spiritual movement that I would call revival, actually. I think probably at this juncture, we might, as it were, have a roll call of these kings. There was a total, actually, of 19 kings that reigned over the northern kingdom of Israel. And there was a total of 20 kings that reigned over the southern kingdom. Now, among the 19 kings over Israel, not one of them could be labeled a righteous king. Actually, the only thing you could say is every one of them was a bad king, not a good one in the lot. Sort of like olives in California. You probably have seen in your supermarket the olives that come from our great state. They come in three sizes. They have large, and then larger, and then jumbo. There's no such thing as a small olive. Well, there was no such thing as a good king among these kings in the northern kingdom. Now, in the southern kingdom, where they had 20, 10 of them could be considered good. 5 of them are exceptional, and during those periods, there were 5 periods of reformation and revival. All of this reformation and blessing that came was incubated in the nest of spiritual revival. And these brief periods of respite, they kept the fires burning on the altars that were all but extinguished at other times. 5 times revival flared up like a forest fire, swept through the nation. Not a fire of destruction, but construction and instruction. And God visited his people with a heaven-sent time of refreshing. And there was the turning to the Word of God, the worship of God, and there was power, there was prosperity. And when a revival comes, my friend, there'll be new joy today in the church. There will be renewed power in the church. And there will be new love. And all of these are lacking today in the average church in this land of ours. And I think I know it pretty well because I've been all over this country today, that is in many, many places, and I see that these are the things that are lacking today. Now, the thing that is important for revival is a return to the Word of God. Then there will be prayer. And then there'll be repentance. But first of all, there must be a return to the Word of God. That is something that you will find has been back of every great spiritual revival. Now, I personally believe we can have revival today. Dr. Griffith Thomas said years ago, I cannot see anywhere in Scripture that revival of the true church is contrary to the will of God. And then Dr. R.A. Torrey said, there is no such teaching in Scripture as that revival is contrary to God's will. And Dr. James M. Gray said, we recall nothing in the epistles justifying the conclusion that the experiences of the early church may not be repeated today. And we need that. We need revival. Now, this is an interesting section for us.